turn to the Word if you use your smartphones. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Luke chapter 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to be teaching on communion today, remembering His sacrifice. We're coming up on Memorial Day next Sunday, and I thought it would be fitting to teach this today. This is something as a pastor that I really need to teach every year because, you know, new people come in and they don't really, you know, what I've learned being a pastor is a lot of people don't understand water baptism and they don't understand communion, and it's not anybody's fault. It's just, it's because pastors haven't been very good from the pulpit teaching on these things. It's something that we've seen. Like, I'm just using myself for an example. I grew up in church, and I have seen communion, and I've seen water baptism, but I had never really was taught what it was and the benefits of it. So I would see, a pastor come up and lead the congregation in communion, and he would read some scriptures, and then we'd have communion. And that was about it. That was the extent of what I knew about communion until I started getting into the Word myself and started learning what water baptism really is, what communion really is. And then I had an aha moment, a revelation moment, that I need to be doing this every Sunday when I worship God. And we make it available here every Sunday. And I want to show you something that's in our bulletins on that first page. It says this: the Lord's Supper or communion is served every Sunday at the front tables on either side of the stage up here and the back table on the east wall of the sanctuary. You notice that they're not here right now because we're going to serve you here at the end of service today. But on normal services, this is where our communion is at. We encourage you to go to any of those tables to partake of communion elements during praise and worship or before or after the worship service. And I've even had some people, they'll take it, you know, they'll take it home with them. They want a quiet, intimate at home moment, you know, and that's fine too. You can do that as well. And it was Pastor Scott Page, who my daughter's married to his son. It was at their church that I noticed that one day I went to their church. It's been years ago, and was at their church, and I noticed they had these little communion deals where you tear off this top part and you have the cracker, and then tear off the bottom part and you have the grape juice. So I thought that was pretty cool, and so that's where we started ordering those and making them available for everyone here. But there's been Sundays, and here's the deal. As a pastor, we don't order enough communion, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. We order more animal crackers and goldfish than we do communion. I'm talking, those kids can eat a bunch back there. That's what I'm talking about, nursery and children's church. And I want to order just as much communion as I do that. And the reason why, and I'm not up here trying to, I'm not going to beat anybody up with scripture, because I know that most people have never been taught. So they don't understand. Because I've been up here before, my dad will say, he goes, "Mark, why don't more people come up here and have communion?" I said, "Well, Dad, I need to teach on it more." You know, and it's been a while since I've taught on it. And I said, because people just, they don't have the understanding. And so that scripture in Hosea says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." This is one of the areas where people do perish for lack of knowledge. The Word even says that. And I'm going to show you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But Jesus made, when we're going to look at this in Luke chapter 22 first, where Jesus did it with his disciples before he went to the cross. And then we're going to look at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, gave Paul a revelation of communion or the Lord's Supper. And we're going to study that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So most Christians don't value communion because they don't understand it. And so that's why I'm doing as a teacher today, to bring understanding. They think it's just symbols like water. A lot of people think, well, I don't really need to get water baptized. I got saved, and so I don't need to get really water baptized because that's just a symbol. No, you need to get water baptized because the Bible tells you that's your next step of obedience in following the Lord, is getting water baptized. And so I'm honored to be able to do Dakota's baptism here in a little bit. It's called Communion, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, And the word Eucharist is derived from the Greek word for thanksgiving. That's where that word comes from. Now we're going to look at Luke chapter 22. There we go. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. We're going to read down through verse 20. It says, "When the hour had come, he sat down." This is talking about Jesus and the 12 apostles with him. "Then he said to them with fervent desire." Everybody say, "with fervent desire." Okay. "What I have prayed is that after we see this in the Word of God, that every one of us, including myself, is going to have a fervent desire to start doing this and start doing it every Sunday and doing it with the right heart and the right frame of mind. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." You've probably heard, if you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard a pastor read that whenever you had communion. And that's very good. That's the passage that you need to read as a pastor, because that's where Jesus led his disciples in communion before the cross. Now we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to the Apostle Paul, who was one of the apostles, but the Lord had given him a revelation of the Lord's Supper or communion. He says, "For I received from the Lord," there's this revelation, "for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread," what we just read in Luke chapter 22. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often. Everybody says, "for as often." Okay. The Bible does not point out exactly how many times we're supposed to do it. It just says, "for as often." So you can do this at home. You can do it at church for as often as you want. All right? For as often. And we have, today's going to be one of those special occasions that we do it as a church family, but we offer this every Sunday. So for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so there's the two, for this reason. It goes on, "For this reason," in verse 30, "many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord," or disciplined, "that we may not be condemned with the world." So if you're taking notes there on the back of your bulletin, I'm going to give you five things today about communion that I believe is going to help you get a revelation and a desire to do it more often in your life. Okay? So here's number one. Communion is a proclamation of redemption. Every time that you come to this table, and we encourage you to, you can come by yourself, we encourage you to come with your family. We try to do it every Sunday where it's Jade and I and get Dad, and if I have any other family members here, we get them all up front and we do this together. But communion is a proclamation of redemption. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we're going to go back through what the Apostle Paul said. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So when you come to this table, or when this table is served to you, you're actually preaching the gospel. You're proclaiming the gospel. And so the frequency of the Lord's table is left entirely up to the church or the individual. As often as you come. And so as your pastor, I'm offering it to you every Sunday, that it's here every Sunday for you. It doesn't say how often, and I think it can be so frequent. Now listen to me. I think it can be so frequent it becomes meaningless. And I've been in churches where it was like that. It was just, this is just what we do, and it's just part of the program, and it's on the bulletin, and they have no understanding what they're doing. Doesn't, and it doesn't mean nothing to anybody there. you can't take of it, you can't partake of it like that, okay? Because it does mean something. Or so infrequent, you miss the vitality it contributes to the believing life. As well, every time I come to the Lord's table, I proclaim the impact of the Lord's death, which is my salvation and redemption, and that cost something. That cost Jesus his life. And by taking the bread and the cup, I proclaim that Jesus purchased life for me. And everybody said, amen. And I also proclaim it by partaking it with others, for the word communion means a sharing in common. And that's what we're all going to be doing today here at the end of service. We're going to be doing it together. And here's, I'm going to go ahead and say this right up front. You don't have to be a member of Harvest Fellowship Church to partake of communion here. You just have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the only prerequisite right there, okay? And so here's number two. Number two, communion is a declaration of dependence. So when you come to this table, you're declaring that my life is dependent. I don't run my own life. I'm dependent upon Jesus. I worship Jesus. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. And in John 6, I love this scripture that Jesus said one day in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. It says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Can you imagine hearing that from somebody? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He, and so you're sitting there going, my gosh, is God cannibalistic or what's going on here? He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So communion is a declaration of dependence upon the Lord. Okay, he is our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our God. That's your when you come up here to this table, when this table is served to you, you're declaring your dependence upon him. And at the Lord's and so at the Lord's table, here's before we get to number three, at the Lord's table, we don't believe the bread becomes meat or the cup turns into blood. Okay, we don't believe that. Jesus made clear he was talking about a spiritual reality, not a physical one. Yet neither are we saying that that it's just a piece of bread and a cup of juice, okay? Neither am I saying that that's just water up there in the baptism. It's Red Star water. I'm praying to God it don't have E. coli in it. Amen. Okay? Amen. Amen. If you live in Leedy, you got that message. That's a message from our school. Don't drink the water. It's got E. coli in it. So I'm calling up Dusty and saying, Dusty, are we okay? He's like, yeah, we're on Red Star. We're good. So we're good, okay? But it's not what I'm saying, it's not just water. There's something spiritual that happens in those waters, in those baptism waters. And I'm going to read that scripture here in a little bit as well. So Jesus said what is happening when we partake of communion, there's a working of the Spirit of God that will happen in your life when you partake by faith. A measure of the Holy Spirit's power will cause his life to nourish you. If you come in with receptivity and understanding of what's really going on at this table, we partake in the recognition that we're dependent upon this life flow to us and among us as believers. We need the Lord and we need each other. And in fact, the Bible says, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but when you partake of this right, you can be healed in your body. Okay, because that's what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. Here's number three. Communion is a place for examination. 1 Corinthians 11:28, the Apostle Paul said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. All right? And the Lord calls us to the table as his disciples. And so another word for a disciple is an apprentice, that you're underneath Jesus and he's your teacher. It's one thing to receive Jesus as Savior to become a believer and another to grow into a believer who is learning. And that's the definition of a disciple, and it relates to being shaped and accepting disciplines. I can't tell you how many times I've came to that table and the Lord has talked to me about something that's going on in my life that week or something I did and that said, Mark, you need to repent of that. Mark, you need to get that under the blood. Mark, you need to quit snapping at Jada. I'm just being real with you. Okay, this is real stuff up here, and real life stuff happens at this table. Mark, if you don't start treating Jada better, I'm not going to hear your prayers. I'm like, God, why are you all talking to me? Is Jada your favorite or am I your favorite? You know, you know. But those, I'm just telling you things that the Lord has told me when I come to that table. Mark, get this right, get this right, get this right, get this under the blood. And he's telling me to take care of it, or else, if I don't take care of it, guess who's going to take care of it? Him. And I would rather take care of it than him. Because if he takes care of it, it's going to get taken care of in a way that we don't want to be. You know, I'm just, and the reason I don't want us to be scared of God, God is a good father, all right? That's how good he is. If you won't take care of it, he will. That's good parenting, amen? All right, but he gives us the option to take care of it first, and I want to be a good son and take care of it first. And so God's word says, let a man examine himself. Why? Because Jesus wants you to have a periodic review with him to see how your life with him is coming along. Amen? And a good time to do that is not only in your prayer and your quiet times, but also this time when you come to this table. And the time to do it is at the table, because if we judge ourselves, he says we won't be judged. But if we don't correct ourselves, God will, what we just said. So how do you do that? First, confess before the Lord your sin, weakness, doubt, or fear, whatever it is. Come before him and speak your heart. Then speak what his word says about that, even if it contradicts what your heart says. You may not feel differently, but sow those words you speak as a seed and trust God to bring the harvest out of them. So we come to the table with the need to examine ourselves and see wherever the Lord is drawing us toward a stretch point of discipleship. And I'm just going to read a scripture to you out of 1 John verses 2 through 1 John 1 verses 8 through 10. And when I read this, I'm going to tell you what I'm about to read to you was not written to unbelievers. It was written to believers. Everybody got that? Before I even read this. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So when we come to this table, I'm just going to tell you, we're all sinners and falling short of the glory of God. And this, the 1 John was written to believers, not unbelievers. And so when we come to that table, you're examining yourself. God, show me, expose myself to myself, and where do I need to get better at? And I'm just sharing some examples from my own life. That's where the Lord has talked to me. Here's number four. Communion is a place for reception of provision. Communion is a place for reception of provision. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 29 through 32, it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For as if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So if we would judge ourselves when we're walking in sin, guess what? We won't get sick. Did you know being sick, can one of the underlying things is because there's sin in your life? Well, it's really quiet in here this morning. Okay, that's. I'm not saying that all sickness is like that, but there's a part of that that you, when you come to this table and you do this right, you can receive healing in your body, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and relationally. And everybody said, "Amen." But and then it goes on to say, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord or disciplined by Him that we may not be condemned with the world." 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 29, I used to have a lot of problems with this scripture. It says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and I'm reading this out of the King James Version because this is where I heard it first, and I heard a pastor just booming it with the big old voice. He goes, I'm trying to do it like he did. It's almost like John Hagee. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I was like, I was sitting back here going, I ain't doing that today. You know, no way I'm not going to eat myself into damnation today, right? And I'm serious. That was what was going through my mind. And so, and I promise you, I have been in a church. I was in a church one time, served in a church where we had communion on a Sunday, and the pastor pretty much read it like that. Thank God I had some understanding at that time. So I partook in a worthy manner and understood what was going on. But the next day when I served in this church, I had to clean the church. And so I had to go around in the pews and clean up behind. This is when we served the cup with the bread. And so I found cups behind in the little receptacles behind the pews. They had the cup of juice was in there. It was still full. And the piece of bread was in the cup, you know, all soaked up in grape juice. And I found several of them. And I was like, good gosh, why aren't people taking communion? You know, bunch of heathens. You know, that's what, here I am serving. And the Lord said, Mark, it's because the pastor scared them to death. He scared them from coming to my table. And I was like, oh my gosh. And the Lord really showed me something that day that's helped me later in life in ministry. He said, Mark, don't ever, ever, ever scare people from coming to me. Because that's not the spirit that I'm of. And so there is a judgment side of God, but that's not my job. My job is to love people, lay it out there to them. Jesus said his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and I don't want to put burdens on people. That's putting a burden on somebody. That's not mine to put. Now everybody said, okay, the Lord calls us to his table to receive his provision. Verse 29 of this text has often been a source of confusion. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment or damnation in the King James Version. I want to read that one to you because that was the one that really scared me. To himself not discerning the Lord's body. Let's settle this right here and now. Who is worthy to come to the Lord's table? The answer is nobody. Not one of us in here are worthy to come to that table. Partaking in an unworthy manner means to ascribe the full worth to what Jesus Christ has done to welcome us into the presence of the Father. It has nothing to do with earning a place of value or acceptance. Jesus has made us worthy through his blood and the cross, not by any accomplishment of our works. The full worth of the provision of the Lord's table is not only for the forgiveness of sins, but also for every matter in your life. The cup is the testimony that he has paid for everything we need, spirit, soul, and body. Love that. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When you come to that table, you can claim healing in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. And that could be physical healing, it could be mental healing, it could be emotional healing, it could be a healing in a relationship. All the healing, all the above. And everybody said, all right, here's number five, last one. Number five is communion is a celebration of victory. Communion is a celebration of victory. And I want to say this, and if you guys will go back there and get them prepared to come out here, the kids, to be with their families, I'd appreciate that. And we got some guys that's going to help serve communion. Also need some guys that can have a, because we don't have little receptacles behind our, so I need somebody with a trash can going around and helping people throw this away, but throw them away after we partake. But number five is communion is a celebration of victory. And I want to say this, communion, when you come up here, it's not a celebration of death. Okay, even though those emblems represent what Jesus did at the cross, it's a celebration of resurrection and victory. That's the mindset that you have to have. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This do in remembrance of me. It's the basic text of the Lord's table engraved on the front of it in churches everywhere. And you can notice that I think, well, it's this one over here where we have it engraved on there, this do in remembrance of me. And in every passage where Jesus was instituting the Lord's table, he says that. Says, do this in remembrance of me. But for many people, that call to remembrance is interpreted as gloom and doom, as if Jesus is telling us, remember all the agony I went through for you. Okay? That's not the way you're supposed to come to this table. Let me ask you, does that sound like a triumphant Savior? No, it doesn't. I want you to consider this. In all the New Testament Gospels where Jesus is introducing this practice, it begins by saying, and he gave thanks, and he gave thanks, and he gave thanks. So when you come to this table, the first thing that needs to be coming out of your mouth is, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me when you went to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying in my place on the cross. I had somebody here not too long ago, and this is another reason why I brought this teaching today, and this is somebody that's been in church for many years, but they said, Pastor Mark, I don't know how to come to that table. How do I? Because I've always been served by a pastor, and so how do I come with my family to this table? And my simple response was, you come to that table being thankful and partake. If all you do is say thank you, that's it. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you. And partake of those emblems. Here in Revelation 12, what I just read, we're prompted to remember Jesus has conquered the power of the enemy. And what the Lord is telling us, when we come to his table, if we're to celebrate that through the cross, Jesus has given us victory over the adversary. We're called to remember him because he's conquered all the powers of hell, death, and the grave. And everybody said amen to that. And so that ought to be the spirit of our approach to the Lord's table, remembrance of the victory that Jesus has accomplished for us. And that's why I want to go back to this one scripture that the Holy Spirit just highlighted to me. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. When you come to that table, I want you to know that Jesus is saying, I'm so glad you came to this table because with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. I want you to get that mental picture in your imagination that he's there with you when you partake of that. And just as Jesus, with fervent desire, called his disciples to come to the Passover feast, so he calls you and me to come to his table and partake with understanding. Not ignorance, but understanding. And I hope you got, how many of you got some understanding today that you never had before? Okay. We're called to proclaim his redemptive work in our lives, declare our dependence upon him and one another, examine ourselves that we might grow as his disciples, receive every blessing that his sacrifice for us has provided, and celebrate his victory over the powers of darkness. There it is in summary, right there, while we come to this table. So I want the guys, I want you to come on, and they're going to serve us, and we'll get our kids in here. Kids, I want you to come and sit with your families, if you don't mind. And everybody's going to be served, and I'm going to read this again in Luke chapter 22. And parents, you may have to help your kids a little bit. That top part will peel off. Supposed to. Just say that. Sometimes I've had to grab another communion cup. We're going to do this together, so just wait until everybody's served. And like I said, you don't have to be a member of Harvest Fellowship Church. You just got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's real easy to do that. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Save me. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has that got everybody served? Okay, I'm going to read this out of Luke chapter 22 again, just a few of those scriptures where Jesus is with his disciples. And I love this scripture in verse 15 where he says, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And then it says in verse 19, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's go ahead and take the bread. Amen. Let's all stand up in honor of God. Yeah. And then in verse 20, get your grape juice ready. "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name today. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what we learned in the Gospel of Luke, what Jesus taught his disciples, what the Apostle Paul, the revelation that you gave him to give to the body of Christ, to us today. Lord, I pray that everybody here in the sound of my voice and those that have watched online, those that are listening to this on the radio, I pray that this will forever give them understanding of what this table means, Lord, and that they'll do this as often as they can, remembering everything, all the things that this table does for us as believers. And God, just as your word says, it's the covenant sign of our salvation is when we come to this table. We're saying, I recognize Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He's the one that died in my place. No other God did that for me. Only Jesus did that for me. And so it's a covenant sign of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you that as we come to this table, as we have that understanding and that revelation, that God, we're called to proclaim his redemptive work in our lives, in our families' lives. We declare our dependence upon him as our Lord and Savior, and also our dependence on one another as a body of Christ. We all need each other. And God, we examine ourselves when we come to this table. And Lord, if there's anything, you know, that we feel, you know, we allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. And just what I read in 1 John chapter 1, you say if we just repent, if we just ask for forgiveness, that you'll forgive us. Lord, that's real simple, and that you'll help us to be better and do better and be more like Jesus. He's our teacher. So, Lord, I just thank you that we're able to examine ourselves at this table and to grow as disciples in your presence. Lord, I thank you also that we can receive every blessing that sacrifice paid for us to have. God, and one of those blessings is health. And not only physical health is a part of it, but mental health, emotional health, God, just being healthy, relational health. God, we thank you for every blessing that the sacrifice of Jesus purchased for us at the cross. And Father, most importantly, we celebrate Jesus' victory over the powers of darkness. God, that you triumphed over them openly upon that cross and upon your resurrection, God. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it. God, thank you for our salvation today. Thank you for this table today. And we give you praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to have a water baptism. Dakota, you want to come on up here? Are you ready? Yep. I like that. Amen. Amen. And I love it that he brought his whole family here today as well. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I just got it marked in my Bible. But Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Where'd Dakota go? He went to get dressed. Okay. So I'm going to do a little teaching on water baptism here while he's getting ready. One of the things that we've been able to do ever since we started being a church around here is do a lot of water baptisms. And I had a prophetic word given over our church many years ago, and it has proven to be true that our church was like John the Baptist in the wilderness. And calling people to repentance and bringing people in the kingdom of God, and that there'd be a lot of baptisms in our church. And we have had a lot of baptisms in our church. And I can remember the first time that we had water baptisms, we got a tank, and we filled it up, the tank, with water, and it was cold. It was in November. And I'll never forget this. He was a young guy at that time. He's a grown man now, but it was Dusty Folks. And we got in, and I felt bad because I was going to stand outside the tank, right, and baptize him because it was cold. And then so Lord convicted me and said, "No, you're going to get in there with him." I was like, "Okay, great." So I got me some shorts and a T-shirt, and I got in there with him, and lo and behold, it was cold. And whenever I put, I'll never forget this, when I put Dusty Folks under, his eyes opened up underwater like this. And I lifted him up real quick, and I said, "Man, I'm so sorry." He goes, "I am never going to forget this baptism as long as I live," because it was that cold. And then we graduated to a little water baptistry that was that would heat up. We had to fill it up a day in advance. That's when we met downtown, and that little tub gave me, as a pastor, gave me a lot of anxiety, because I would go to bed at night thinking that thing just broke and just flooded the whole sanctuary. There's a little building downtown, and I'd get up there early in the morning, go in there and make sure it was okay. It was always okay, and so we baptized a lot of people in that little, and we still have that baptistry, by the way, and because it had like a pool liner in it. And then we were so excited to get out here to our new church here. We got in here in 2009. We were able to put this baptistry up here, and we got a baptistry where I could stand outside of it and baptize people. And it's heated, so we call it the Holy Hot Tub. We call it the Holy Hot Tub. But here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15 is what I wanted to read today for this baptism, because I just taught you what the covenant sign is. Come on up here, Dakota. Come on up here and stand here next to me, if you don't mind. Give Dakota a big old hand clap. Glad you're up here, buddy. So Colossians 2, verses, you can stand right here next to Poppy, okay? All right. Colossians 2, verses 11 through 15, it says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." I love verse 15. It says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And I love that. But what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, he's teaching the Colossian church, is that the covenant seal of our walk with God is water baptism. And Paul equated water baptism with a kind of spiritual circumcision. So what happens in these baptisms waters is that the old man is cut off, and he walks in newness. It's kind of like a type and shadow of it in the Old Testament is whenever God parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel came through, and then the Red Sea crushed the enemy afterwards. That's what happens in these spiritual waters. The enemy is crushed. The enemy is cut off from his life. That old man is gone, and he's raised to newness of life. And that's why baptism is sometimes called the watery grave. There's a death of the old man and a resurrection of the new man. And so I'm going to give this charge to Dakota here. Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to celebrate Jesus' presence and further his mission in the world? If so, say, "I do." I do. Amen. Okay, so here's a charge to all of us. Will you support Dakota, this newest member to the body of Christ, with prayer, words, and deeds to help him grow in his knowledge and love of God? If so, say, "We will." All right, I want you to stretch forth your hand. We're going to pray over Dakota today. Father, I thank you so much for Dakota. I thank you for how you have led him to our church. I thank you for the relationship that he has with Darren Smallwood, how Darren's been instrumental in his life as well. God, and it just goes to show us, as I taught earlier, that this Christian life is never a Lone Ranger event. It takes all of us. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you for Darren, and thank you for his salvation. Thank you that he is sharing his salvation with others. And this is just fruit of that, God. And, Lord, I thank you for Dakota, that he came to know you about 2 years ago at a Falls Creek, and now he wants to follow you in water baptism. And so we're just honored to be able to do that today and witness that here today. And God, I pray over Dakota. God, I just thank you for his salvation today. I thank you that as he is baptized today, the old man is going to be cut off. God, the enemy is going to be cut off, and he's going to walk in the newness of life in you, God. So, Lord, I just ask that you grant him the strength, the endurance, and the faithfulness to live for you, to live the Christian life. I thank you that he's going to be salt and light, and he's going to bring many into the kingdom of God. And, Lord, I thank you that his family is here today to witness this as well, and his church family, God. And we just bless Dakota today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, buddy, let's go get up here. Yes, sir. Yeah, he's going to get baptized. Yep. I got a little helper today, as y'all can tell. Amen. Come on up here, Dakota. If I can get our praise team to come up here, because we're going to go out with a song today. After this, and then I'm going to come up and bless everybody. Come on down in here, Dakota. Be real quick. Yeah, careful, because sometimes that gets slick. I'm going to have you turn around and sit down right there. And scoot up as far as you can on that seat, and then I'll have you hold your nose with one hand. Yeah, your other hand, grab your wrist right here. Yeah, all right. Here we go. Dakota, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, buddy. Proud of you. Amen. Amen. Proud of you. Let's all stand up and let's worship the Lord this morning.
Great.
Everybody learned something today? Okay. All right. Jerick's going to help me speak a blessing over y'all today. Awesome. This little dude's going to be a preacher one day, aren't you? Yes, he is. All right. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed day and a blessed week. Love y'all. Amen. Yes.